Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will reflect on the Gospel from Matthew and talk about putting our trust in God. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Mexico is the land of mysteries and miracles that many people still don't know about. A Mexico pilgrimage is set for March 31st through April 5th, and you could be a part of it. Deacon Armando Botello will be the spiritual director as you visit the Basilica de Guadalupe, the Pyramid of the Sun and the Moon near Chapultepec, the Fine Arts Palace, and so much more. For complete information on this Mexico pilgrimage, call 510-4727.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Well, today our gospel is from Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word today.
Yes, it is from the 6th chapter of Matthew. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you are to eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat?' or 'What are we to drink?' or 'What are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When reading this gospel, Bishop, I thought it was interesting that people in the first century had the same anxieties that we do today. You know, making sure that we have food, that we have shelter, what our appearance is, what our health is. It was interesting.
Right, sure. And it's I was very impressed myself with all those, that they seems like there are more questions than there are answers. But in reality, that's not true. There are many questions that Jesus raised, very human questions, as you said, questions that we still have today. But he had one answer, and that is to put God first, to to rely on the fact, as you said in the introduction, that that God knows everything, and to put our trust first and foremost to God. And I think, you know, that's something that interiorly and in the inside of all of us, we long for and we struggle with. How right. do we put God first? And I think there are some answers perhaps that Jesus is offering us in the gospel today.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting that it said you cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, I had to look up the word for mammon.
Right, right.
And I found out it was the Semitic word for money and wealth.
Right. It's a material thing
right.
that, that we have to have, you know, to make life, you know, we're not angels. I think this is one thing when we look at Christianity at times, we all wish we could go and be off in a corner somewhere and nobody bother us. I mean, somehow, I don't know why, but somehow for some of us that seems to be attractive. I was in the airport the other day and somebody was talking to me and I just said to the man next to me one day, I wish I had been a monk, you know, because we all kind of want to
disappear.
Not have to go through all the stuff we have to mm-hmm. go through, the material things and all those kind of things, and just disappear. But that's not what life's about.
That's right.
I mean, life's there. But what Jesus is warning about here is that we, and he uses the word slaves, you cannot serve two masters. What he's really saying there is you cannot be a slave to these things. And mm-hmm. this is where we go wrong mm-hmm. as human beings. It's not that we learn to use them as good stewards for our life and for the life of our loved ones, et cetera, but somehow, because we become so attached to the material, to the mammon, to the material things, whether it's money or whether it's goods, we think that we are owning them, but what happens, and this is the reverse, is they begin to own us. And so we become a slave to them. We become possessed. Instead of possessing them, they begin to possess us. And what Jesus, in the context of his times, what he's really saying to us is that when we are either be hated by one, love the other, be devoted to one, or despise the other, he's saying to us that in all that we lose our human dignity. Because, again, as we go back and look at how we were created by God, we were created as children of God. We're in that relationship with Almighty God. So when we become a slave to what is the things that God gives us for a good life, a comfortable life, when we try to possess those and they end up possessing us, what do we lose? We lose our human dignity. We lose the sense of being a daughter or a son, a child of Almighty God who knows what we need. But we somehow kind of take the reins over and we try to be the ones that possess. We try to be the ones that run the show. And we become a slave to these things and become enslaved by them. And that's really, I think, the message that is here in that first paragraph of today's beautiful gospel.
And you have spoken about this before in previous shows, that it's all right to create wealth, but it can't be more important than God.
Right. I mean, wealth is of course, a relative term.
True.
I mean, a person that's poor may get an extra $20 through the mail, they may feel that they're wealthy. But that cannot be possessed in the sense that we lose our minds over those things. Mm-hmm. And the material goods, whether it is in financial goods or in material goods, those are there to be used as good stewards, that God, whatever we're blessed with, through our own work, of course, these things don't just fall out of trees either. But we are to see how they can benefit not only ourselves, but others as well. And that's what it means to be a good steward, to use the things no matter what measure. And of course, we have to go back to the little widow in the temple that had just a small amount, but she right. gave what she had for the good of the temple, good of others. So we always have to be careful and ask. I said, this is, you know, Barbara, I think this is one of those passages which really gives us, if we take it seriously, a time to be honest with ourselves. Do we use what we have, or are they possessing us, or do we try to possess to the degree that we become a slave to what we have? And if we're honest with ourselves, if we are being possessed, if we're a slave to these things, if we become a servant or a slave to the wrong thing, then we've lost our dignity. And because we lose our dignity in these things, we lose our happiness and our freedom.
That's right.
And this is where Jesus is really trying to liberate us. He's not trying to impose a way of life on us that is less. He only wants what is more for us. And so he's trying to liberate our interior life, our spiritual life, our inner life, which is where true freedom lies. It's not about being able to do what I want. That's not freedom. That is false freedom. But it is to liberate the human person, every man and woman, to the point that they see that they are in God's hands. When we become a slave to mammon, when we become slave to the material, we lose our dignity, we lose our peace, we lose our joy, we lose our freedom, we've lost ourselves.
Right. Well, in the beginning, after that sentence about you cannot serve God and mammon, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Well, it's hard not to worry. I mean, that's asking a lot.
Right. But it also goes hand in hand with the whole story here.
True.
And you only read the first one. Look down. I tell you, do not worry. And look down a little further. Mm-hmm. Can any of you worry? So do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Four times.
Right.
In that passage, Jesus says, do not worry. Now, there's not one of us who's here in the studio or listening out there who has not and does not worry. We all worry.
It's human.
It's human. But what does worry say to us? That's mm-hmm. the question. And that's where, as we're looking at the interior life of each one of us, what does worry tell us? It tells us that I'm trying to do it myself, and it's not working. I've put my solutions into solving my problems, and it's not working. I can't see beyond the answers that I've given to this situation, so I worry. Whether it is worrying about a job, whether it's worrying about children, it's worrying about our health, it's worrying about the future, it's worrying about the past. All of those things are mammon in a certain sense, are caused by the desire to be a slave to mammon. And worry is the fruit of a misguided trust. I'm trusting myself, trusting the things of life to answer my situation, and it's not working. And when it's not working, what do? Worry. That's where worry sets in.
And this is where, as I said in the intro of this, it's about putting our faith in God,
right,
saying it's in God's hands.
We're being guided back to the fundamental reality of not only our Christian life, but of human life, because we are all, no matter who we are, we're all created in God's image and likeness. And God does not create us and abandon us. And so if he does not abandon us, then we have to take it to the next step. Then who is he in my life? Or is he even there? And if he's not there, I'm trying to do it myself. And guess what's going to become my disease? Worry.
Right.
It's the disease of, I guess we could call worry a disease sometimes, mm-hmm. because it takes over our emotional life. And we all worry here and there. But I mean, when worry becomes a way of life, it's a disease.
Mm-hmm. And you steadily go downhill.
Right.
All right. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
St. Elizabeth of Hungary Parish in Alice will present a parish mission entitled To Serve is to Reign, March 9th through 13th. Featured will be Father Joseph Hatonya of the Fathers of Mercy. The mission, a chance to take part in several days of activity and prayer, all focus on faith enrichment. Monsignor Leonard Pabanka and the faithful of St. Elizabeth Parish invite you to this special mission during the first full week of Lent. For more information, call St. Elizabeth Church, 603 East 5th Street in Alice, at 361-664-6481. In these economic times, people are looking for real bargains on household appliances, furniture, children's toys and games, and of course, clothes. The Schoenstatt Movement Center, 4343 Gaines Street, invites you to their annual rummage sale March 7th and 8th, where you'll find great bargains and a great lunch to be served from 11 until 1 on Friday, March 7th. To hear more information, call 992-9841.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, before the break, we were talking about worrying. And when we continue worrying, it just takes over. I was looking through the catechism, and they had a passage here, and it said, from the Sermon on the Mount onwards, Jesus insists on conversion of the heart, reconciliation with one's brother before presenting an offering on the altar, love of enemies, and prayers for persecutors, prayer to the Father in secret, not heaping up empty phrases, prayerful forgiveness from the depth of the heart, purity of heart, and seeking the kingdom before all else. This filial conversion is entirely directed to the Father.
Right.
That's giving up all of our worry and giving it all to Him.
You did good research, Barbara, because that really is, I mean, that sums up what Jesus is saying in that first paragraph. I mean, he's really just, I mean, you know, I think sometimes people have the impression that Christianity is just a bit, you know, organized religion is just a set of rules, and as long as we follow the rules, we're okay. Well, no. Mm-mm. He's talking about a conversion of our heart. I was reading on the airplane the other day. I was going to Dallas, and I was reading the book, the Pope's new book, which caused controversy in some ways, but it's called The Light of the World. And it was an interviewer who was just asking a lot of questions, and he spoke about this. He said, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that it's not the what you see on the exterior. There's a lot of people that go to church. There's a lot of people that are on their knees praying, but where's their heart? And this is the question. And so he said, there's some people that exteriorly look Christian, but interiorly are far away. And there are a lot of people that exteriorly look far away from religion, from God, from church, maybe because they're not going or they never pray, at least nobody sees them, but interiorly they might be very, very close. I think from that we can see that's why Jesus said that sinners and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you are, before mm-hmm. we are. It is really the interior, what I call the interior life or the spiritual life, what's going on inside. And this is where Jesus is calling for a conversion of heart. Again, not heaping up a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations and a bunch of laws, but really really saying to us, it's who you are. And so this introductory paragraph to the gospel today is really Jesus saying to us, don't serve two people. You can't. Right. You can't have a divided heart. It's like living a schizophrenic life. I say I'm God's child, but I live like, you know, he doesn't even exist.
Right.
And so he's really calling us. And so the examination of conscience for that conversion, I think this is a perfect gospel for looking at that, is do we worry about life? Do we worry about eating? Do we worry about what we're drinking, our body, what we're wearing? And Jesus uses two beautiful metaphors of nature. Look at the birds in the air. They're free to go where they want. They don't have any right. worries. They're not storing up all this stuff. And then he says, and you're not worth more than that? I mean, you know,
that's right.
We read these things, but we need to stop and think, what's he saying to us? God already knows. He knows what you need. And then the other, what am I to wear? And of course, today is what do I look like? And all of those kind of things. And Jesus says, stop. Look at the flowers in the field. You're not worth more than the flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. These are questions that need to be answered in our life. So once we come to looking at the gospel as we're doing every week now, every Sunday, it's calling us to a conversion, as the catechism says here, and you quoted so well. It's a constant confronting ourselves with the gospel.
Like an examination.
It's like an examination. Mm-hmm. But allowing the words of God, the words of Jesus, to really, really enter in and change us. It's from the letter to the Hebrews that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It can cut through all of our worries.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to add anything. Are you going to add a day by worrying? No. Are you going to add any solution by worrying? No. So let's take another path. And what is the path? It's to trust our Heavenly Father who sees what we need before we even know that we need it.
Think of that worrying. When you're worrying so much, you can't even hear anything. You know, it's like noise.
Perfectly, yeah.
It's noise.
Yeah. It's a total earmuff, you know. It just blocks everything out. It blinds the heart, you know. It blinds the mind, the intelligence. Everything gets focused on the problem and not where and in whom is the solution. And that's our Heavenly Father. Now, we have to also be careful. Well, we're not pacifists and we're not in the sense of quietist and, okay, just let God, you know, I won't worry about it, so I'll go sit under an oak tree or a palm tree on the shore and just let God take care of it. Well, that's not the way it works. It's a participation.
Right.
But the fundamental attitude is not an attitude of worry, but of trust. And he'll test us. I mean, you know, just by saying, okay, well, I trust God doesn't make problems go away.
Right.
But it reorients our own hearts in this path of conversion here to say, well, first things first, let's put God first in the trust. If you don't mind, I also, when I was reading this book on the plane the other day, I found a wonderful passage from Pope Benedict the 16th. This is the recent book that came out that the interviewer is just asking questions. And the chapter is really saying it's a time for conversion. And what Pope Benedict was saying is that, kind of looking back at John Paul II and how Pope John Paul II, soon to be blessed, of course, really brought to our attention again the fact of the second coming, something that we don't think about too often. Perhaps we don't want to think about it.
We don't talk about it.
We don't talk about it. We don't want to think about it. But Jesus will come again. It's an anticipation for us. And so as the world seems to be going farther and farther and farther away from God, more and more into a worry mode, more and more into a power mode, and all of these things, putting God aside, Pope Benedict says that it's time for a new interior conversion. And that's for all of us. A new interior conversion. And so the interviewer says, well, what does this mean concretely? And the Pope says this: part of this conversion is putting God in the first place again. That changes everything else. Just think of that. If we put in our own life today, as we're driving to Mass, to church today, this morning, just make that interior leap. God, you are first. God, you are first. That's the beginning of a conversion, of any conversion in life. God is first. So, backtracking, part of this conversion, the Pope said, is putting God in the first place again. That changes everything else. And inquiring about God's words, which is what we're doing, trying to unfold God's words, so as to allow them as reality. You know, this is not fantasy land here.
No.
This is reality.
Yeah.
To allow them as realities to shine into one's life. Let them take root in your life. We must, so to speak, dare again to experiment with God. That is a powerful saying. It's time in the world we live in today, and everybody thinks it's going down the chute in a, what do they say, in a laundry basket or whatever.
Right.
But dare to experiment with God again.
It's an interesting choice of words to say experiment with God.
Right.
I think.
It's very interesting phraseology or phrasing of things. You think to dare to get close to God again, but to experiment. Because, let's face it, what is faith? Faith is accepting what we don't see.
That's true.
And so to experiment, if you do an experiment in a laboratory or anything, you're dealing with some unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And so the unknown, as Jesus even says here, speaking of here with all these don't worry, is experimenting with our life, what we don't know.
That's right.
And so the Pope says to us and to all Christians, to all people, it's time to experiment with God again. And then he finishes by saying, so as to allow him to work within our society, but I would say within our lives and therefore within our society.
Because if it's working within our lives, then it's going to impact society.
Sure. It's going to impact the way we see life, the way we go to work, the way we live in our families. It's going to impact everything, but we have to be daring enough to experiment with God again.
And when he says experiment with God again, the again is some did it previously,
sure,
but probably have faded away.
Well, yes, and I recently was on a long, long trip, and I took a series of audio CDs with me and listened to. It was actually a series on the history of the popes. Fascinating for 2,000 years and tracing all the major eras. And, of course, the commentator kept saying, you know, we're talking about the papacy, but you have to put it in context. But I'm saying that because there were real chunks of history and time where people lived, they experimented with God in the sense that he was first in their lives. There were eras of faith. And I think we're on the brink of that. I think we have to look ahead, not just to see what is, but what can be. And I really think we're in the era of a new beginning. In fact, the Pope agrees with me.
Oh, well, that's good.
in the book. So, you know, we're really on the brink of something new here. Uh-huh. But it's time for all of us to buckle up and experiment with God by looking at ourselves. Are we slaves to the physical and push God aside and we take care of everything? Or are we courageous enough to not be a slave to what we see, touch, feel, hear, and trust God, put God first in our life again?
So how do we do that? How do we do a better job of giving it up to God and experimenting with God in our day-to-day lives?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think you're a week ahead. I think let's stay tuned next weekend. I believe the gospel next weekend just might kind of give us a glimpse into how to live, continue this part of the gospel and how to live.
So it's coming attractions to our audience.
There you go.
All right. Well, Bishop, if you could end our segment with a closing prayer and blessing.
I sure will. Thank you. Lord, as we honor the glorious life that you have given to each one of us, we ask you to bless this week, guide the course of world events and the events of our lives, and give the church the joy and peace of serving you in freedom. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.